Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Hey, long time no see, buddy. Glad to have you back in the catbird seat as I sit over here and recline in luxury and quiet and peace because you're not speaking this morning.
I'm here.
I know you are.
Check, welcome.
Welcome to On the Mark. I'm not Mark Lawrence. He's not Joe McGranahan. But Lynn Hall is our producer.
Yep, she's over there. She waves. She's doing super over there. She takes fabulous care of us under all circumstances, so we always appreciate that. We are going to do three live shows this week. Today, tomorrow, and Thursday, we'll have live shows. And Friday, we'll have another best of segment. We heard from Senator Bob Casey again last Friday.
So he called twice last week.
And no, he only called once, but it was a best of segment.
Oh, okay.
So we did get a call in the newsroom on Friday. Somebody called and said they wanted to talk to him and tell him that he's wrong.
Okay.
And so I think they told him that the show was recorded. It was a best of.
And
I think they said it was a best of, and the person in the caller said, oh, I don't think so.
Well, if you don't like Senator Casey or his politics, then I guess it wouldn't be a best of.
And it's funny that he sent out a list of his accomplishments yesterday or today, all the things that he was able to do for Pennsylvania during 2022, but it was a recap of what he had said on the Mark show, that he had worked on this but had some other things to do. Youth mental health still uncovered or sufficiently funded. So, but yeah, that was good. And so Friday we'll have a best of. Now, I won't be here on Thursday, so Steve Kushiloff has agreed to come in.
Yes,
so that'll be a regular show. And
about Monday?
Monday's a holiday.
Monday's a holiday.
Every day's a holiday.
We won't be here Monday.
Right.
All right. Next Monday, we won't be here.
Right.
But next Tuesday, we will be.
Right.
Now that we've got that all cleared away.
It's hard to keep all this straight. Unfortunately, I have to work four-day weeks like you do all the time.
Oh, poor fella. how rough on you.
Well, you're only working a three-day week.
This week.
Most of the week, you don't even work.
Well, if you consider this work.
Do you have fun doing this?
I do, or I wouldn't be doing it.
Okay. That's true. You're retired. You're at liberty to say no. Does anybody ever ask you to do something and you say no?
Once in a while.
Yeah, like
but
what?
Most things I've been asked, I've enjoyed doing, so.
Like what?
Well, I can't remember the last time I turned somebody down, to be honest with you.
You want to run the Steve Jones show tomorrow? We have an unmet need here.
No,
okay.
All right, there you go.
There you go.
Not that I don't like Steve Jones. He's a great guy and he has a great show, but I know nothing of his production requirements and very little of sports outside of football.
You'd be just a board operator. You'd be back all the way to where you started.
Boy, that's really going back to the start of my career.
50 years.
More than that.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Give us a buzz, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. We do have an email left over, which is still, timely, I guess. We can read that. And we have the text machine up and running. It is 70236. Include the keyword OTM. You can text. You get a little welcome message there. And then if you want to send us a message, you send a message to that number, 70236, and put the key letters, OTM, in first, then a space, and then whatever you want to tell us would be next. You have a 150-character limit that's associated with that. So you sort of like the old Twitter always had, I think they were 140 characters, but Twitter's allowing you to do more things these days. But we're still at 150 characters. So, and we do get an occasional texter that sends us a message. It says, President Biden was the greatest in the world, and President Trump was terrible. And furthermore, I want to say to Mark that he should...
And that's the end. 160 characters have gone.
So fortunately, I haven't had to do whatever it said suggested there. So.
Well, I'd be happy to fill in the blanks for you.
Mark Lawrence should
go to double hockey sticks.
Yeah, a short walk off a long pier.
Right.
No, a long walk off a short pier.
Short pier, right.
There you go.
What we do have is Doug sent us an email last week, and it was after Steve was on the program. He said, those like Steve who think that the election was totally legit and fair also still believe that Trump colluded with Russia to win in 2016, that COVID came from a bat, that the clot shot is safe and effective, that Epstein killed himself, that January 6th was an insurrection, and that Biden is a great president and totally competent, and that Hillary Clinton is running a child sex peddling operation out of the basement of a pizza shop. No, he didn't say that.
No, he didn't say that. But he had me until Biden's a great president.
He's not saying that. He's saying the people who do say that are deluded.
Right, but I'm with him on this. I think that, well, the election wasn't totally legit, but it was for the most part legit, and that President Trump did collude with Russia a little to try to win 2016, but Russia did most of it on their own. And let's see, COVID could have come from a bat. We still don't know for sure. The clot shot is safe and effective for the most part. I'm sure there are some folks that have bad reactions, but certainly the vast majority of people.
Well, all you have to do to turn on television and watch any drug ad that airs on TV, and they all sound far more difficult to deal with than the
dangerous
COVID vaccine. Right?
You could take a long walk off a short pier if you take this
it says
in your sleep.
One of the things what really cracked me up, I forget what medicine it was, but the side effects were both diarrhea and constipation. You wouldn't know if you were coming or going.
You know?
Right?
Oh, jeez. Well, and I think...
Oh, I got constipation. Whoops. Nope. Diarrhea.
Well, and I saw an ad for a sleep medicine that said that while you're taking this, you can do sleepwalking and drive and use machinery unknowingly.
I thought you were going to say it may cause insomnia.
I don't think so. But anyway, and then Doug also said Epstein killed himself. But I don't think there's anyone who thinks that's true.
You think he killed himself? Or
he did not kill himself.
You think he was murdered?
Right. But I don't think anybody think he killed himself. I mean, I know that's the official line. But January 6th was an insurrection in the mind of some of the participants, but not most of them. That much we know to be true.
Well,
and Biden is a great president.
No,
there isn't anybody.
I don't even think Democrats think that.
I don't even think President Biden thinks it.
Oh, he may. He may.
He thinks he's kind of floundering.
He just wanders around. I mean, if someone said to him, Joe, you're a great president, just stick in my mind, yes, Abraham Lincoln said to me, Joe, you're a great president.
All right, Stan, what did I say?
Good morning, Mark.
Mark, I just hear you
Trump,
say?
Yeah, how you doing, Joe? You all have a good holiday.
Thank you. Hope you did,
good
too.
Good Christmas. Yeah. It was all right, though. Mark,
yo.
So Trump just maybe colluded a little bit with the Russians. Evidence is where, please?
I guess I think of all the meetings that were held with Trump's teams and family members. But, I think it's just a thread of evidence. I don't think it's a definitive thing. What is 100% clear is that Russia worked pretty hard for President Trump on his own. So I just assume, since I have such a low opinion of President Trump and his honesty, that I assume he probably was aware of it, maybe, you know, okayed it or not. But it doesn't really matter. You know, it doesn't change the outcome of anything. We know Russia worked hard on his behalf, some of it legal, some of it not. But whether President Trump knew about it in advance or not, I don't know.
So that's the key word there, right there, Mark. You don't know.
It's actually three words, but anyway, yeah.
I say keywords.
Oh, okay. Didn't hear you.
He did say keywords. Yes,
oh, did he? Okay,
yes,
good.
He
thank you.
Just had to throw that out there. But, you know,
so
it is what it is.
It's
It's
your favorite
phrase. We don't live in the past.
I don't know. It's your favorite phrase. It's like, I heard that President Biden assaulted five kids overnight. Now, I don't know. I just heard it.
I've seen video that is kind of strange with Biden and kids. So whether he is assaulting them, but he's sure getting handsy with them. That's what is kind of disturbing with him. Hey, he's just the president, right?
Well, if you're going to be molested, it might as well be by somebody
Come
powerful.
On now.
Oh, man, Joe.
Now, what kind of a thing is that to say?
Well, I mean, you have
that back.
You have that to cherish the rest of your life. I was molested by the President of the United States.
Take that back right now.
Oh, man. I wouldn't even go that far.
It back.
And I like to stir the pot.
Well, you're the one who says, Mark, you're the one who says he's creepy with kids, not me.
Well, that's obvious.
Okay.
I mean, the video doesn't lie.
You're right, Mark. The videos don't lie. I don't think anybody Dr. Doe's videos and the parents that are beside them, they got some strange looks in their eyes, too, on their faces when that's going on, too. So,
what?
He was Mr. Powerful. I guess at the time, most of those was when he was vice president. There's a lot of that. And when he was running for president. But it's neither here nor there.
He's in.
He is what he is. And I know he won't be impeached for what he should be. But because, you know, what's going on at the border right now, that's an impeachable offense. Not, you know, enforcing the laws on the books is a very impeachable offense.
So how do you feel about Governor, I guess it was Governor Abbott, dumping a bunch of illegal immigrants in front of the vice president's house on Christmas Eve?
Did he? I don't know. I did see something about that.
Somebody did.
All in an uproar, I guess, about it. But
they knew they were coming.
They did? I don't think they did.
For some reason, they get warned about this, maybe so that they can, you know.
Well, they claim that they were blindsided, so I don't know. If you're right, maybe you're wrong.
Oh,
I'm just throwing that out there.
I thought they were warning them, you know, not days in advance, but hours in advance. Well, in any event, at least it's in Washington, right?
So, right.
Yeah, I mean, they wanted them, right? That's a sanctuary city there.
It's not out there.
So they should be able to take care of them and all that. And besides, he didn't just dump them there. I'm sure he asked if they wanted to go. And they said, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Let's go to the... to the White House.
You have the promise of jobs, and I know some of that has been deceptive to get them on the buses, but I don't know if that was the case in this particular case.
So Kamala Harris is offering work to illegal immigrants at her house?
Well, I hope she took
them in. Wouldn't surprise me in the past if she has.
I hope she took them in.
When she was in California.
Well, I don't know.
Was she there?
I mean it. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, the whole mess at the border is just getting worse daily. And I don't know, whatever has happened, they still got a hold on the Title 42 thing?
I don't know. There was supposed to be, the Republicans were looking last week for an up or down vote on it. And the Democrats didn't want to give it to them, the Republicans say, because they were afraid it would pass. But supposedly the Republicans were allowed to offer that amendment. And then I don't know whether it was voted down. If it was, I didn't hear the news story on it, or whether they just withdrew it or didn't take the vote.
The Supreme Court's waiting. They're
weighing in on it now, yeah, but I don't know if that's because the Congress didn't act or because the Congress did act and somebody's appealing it.
Yeah, and that omnibus mess of a bill that they shoved through with 4,000 pages that nobody read. I like Schumer's statement. Well, we've been working at this in the Appropriations Committees for months, and all the basic points are out there. Yeah, the basic points of it were out there. It's all the little pork barrel spending that they shoved in at the last minute that nobody knows what's going on that cost probably another $500 billion. That's the stuff that's a problem. But, hey, it's just another year in D.C. So,
your tax dollars at work.
Yeah, they're working all right. So actually, I think it's the printing presses at the Federal Reserve that's doing the work right now, because there's no way we have that kind of money.
Well, we borrow it. I think we probably print some, but most of it we just borrow. I mean, our deficit.
Borrow it from who, Mark?
The Chinese and banks and wherever you get global borrowing. I don't know.
Where's that cash come from?
Our grandchildren.
Because exactly, because there is no, you know, the what they're printing is based on nothing, you know, is backed up by nothing, except the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, correct? Ain't that what we're told?
That's what we're told.
Which is $31 trillion in arrears.
If you do not have full faith in the credit of the United States, don't buy the bonds.
Well, and that's just it. So, but what are they buying it with? U.S. dollars? I mean, when the Chinese buy bonds or whatever they buy, what do they buy it with? Gold? Silver? The Chinese, was it Wun, Won, whatever it's called?
Yen?
Maybe, I don't know. I think that's the Japanese money.
Oh, okay.
I think, I ain't sure. The Wuan or something like that, I think the Chinese money. So what are they purchasing it with?
Well, you tell me.
Collateral.
I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm asking. So we just keep... I don't think anybody's... Not a lot of people are buying bonds because there's no value in it, right? What's the interest on the bonds? What do you get back in returns? What's the return on the bonds? Not much?
I'll Google it. Let's see. The collateral is a set of solar panels in Montour County, it says.
And you're right. It is the yuan. Y-U-A-N.
Right. So, I mean, so they're buying this, and I don't know where the money's come from, except from the printing press.
Well, one Chinese,
I guess that high-quality paper and ink is making our money.
Just so you know, one Chinese yuan is worth 14 cents, 0.14 of a United States dollar. 0.14.
Okay.
All right, 14 cents to the yuan. Okay.
Right. No, 0.14 cents.
It says 0.14, so that would be 14 cents, would it not?
That would be my guess.
Since Chinese yuan is one, that's a whole number, equals 0.14, which would, I assume, be 14 cents.
Okay.
I would think so. That's so you can buy a whole lot of yuan with a dollar, right? I don't know, what's that come up to? 15, that's 6 or 8, about 8 yuan? Is that about
something
right?
Something like that, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. So, woohoo, you get rich like that, right?
Well, the U.S. makes money out of nowhere because we have a magic yuan.
Right. That's why the inflation is what it is.
Thank
because
you,
the
Joe.
Government
I'm
the
leaving
feds keep printing money.
Courtesy laugh. All right. We got to hit the road, Stan. Thank you, sir.
All right. You all have a great day. Hope you have a good new year.
All right. Thank
you.
You too, buddy.
Bye.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. Talked about, well, thanks to Doug, we've talked about every hot topic of the year. And Stan and Russian collusion.
But we have to talk about West Point. Stanford University. I'll tell you, these colleges are going insane.
Read the first sentence of the West Point one.
You sent it to me. I didn't print it out. But the basic premise is that they are changing the names or taking down the statues of anything related to the Confederacy,
and
including Robert E. Lee, which is a tremendous mistake. I mean, they ought to be ashamed of themselves.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. Taking down Confederate and Robert E. Lee names at West Point. Now, this isn't in southern cities or anyplace else. This is at West Point. So
where, incidentally, Robert E. Lee earned a distinguished record. He was the superintendent of the academy, and he was the only cadet up to that point, and maybe since, who graduated with no demerits.
1-800-795-9565.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You had the joy of watching grandchildren open packages?
Yes. My 4-year-old just rips them open and can't wait to get to the next one.
Good for him. Well, he's a human.
You know, and they all throw the clothes away. Oh, clothes. Oh, a shirt. Oh, socks. You know, but, oh, hey, look, here's a toy.
All right.
But that's the nature of 4-year-olds.
And here's money. I think it's human nature.
It probably is.
I think it's people nature.
I did that, too. I ripped open my gifts.
Did you? Over the weekend?
Yes.
All right. West Point.
All right. The U.S. Military Academy at West Point is starting to remove Confederate statues and symbols from its campus in compliance with a federal order formally set in motion by the Department of Defense. We should say the woke Department of Defense this past October. Over the holiday break, which began on December 18th, the country's oldest service academy launched what its superintendent described as, quote, a multi-phased process to either take down or modify displays that memorialize the Confederacy, including including an immediate plan, because this is so egregious, to remove a portrait of Robert E. Lee wearing a Confederate uniform into storage. Lee, once a U.S. military general who was ultimately appointed commander of the Confederate Army toward the end of the Civil War, was a graduate and superintendent of West Point and lingered as a significant presence on the Academy's New York State campus for more than a century after his death. In addition to the portrait of Lee displayed in Jefferson Hall, West Point also has a stone bust of his likeness, bronze plaques dedicated to him and other Confederate figures, and a gate, road, and a series of academic facilities bearing his name. West Point is removing the portrait, the stone bust, and bronze triptychs.
Those three pictures together.
Over the holiday break, said Lieutenant General Stephen Gilland, the Academy superintendent, in a statement announcing the changes. In addition to Lee, the bronze triptych, which includes an image of a hooded figure appearing with the words Ku Klux Klan. Now, that certainly should be gotten rid of, and why that's even there, I have no idea.
I'm surprised it
doesn't belong. Both the portrait and stone bust of Lee will be placed in storage at the Academy, according to Gillen, while the triptych, which will be stored as well until a more suitable location is determined for it. You know, this is insane. It really is. Now, there are people in the Confederacy whom I would not honor. Robert E. Lee is not one of them. At the end of the war, he could have opted to go on fighting a guerrilla war. His troops would have followed him. But he told them to go home and to be as good a citizens of the country as they were soldiers for him. He graduated with high honors from the Military Academy. He served in the Mexican-American War with distinction. He captured John Brown, captured him and his men at the Harper's Ferry. You know, he did the government's work for many, many years. And he was even offered, and a lot of people don't remember this, he was offered command of the United States Army at the start of the war by General Scott. But he turned it down, said he couldn't raise his sword against his native Virginia.
Was he a traitor?
I don't think so. I think he fought for a bad cause. But he always, he was not in favor of secession. But once everybody seceded, he went with his state. And you have to realize, back then, states were more important than I think they are today. I don't hear people say, I'm willing to die for Pennsylvania. You ever hear anybody say that? I never heard anybody say that.
No, I heard a lot of people die in Pennsylvania a couple years ago.
Some people die from it, too. But
well, that's another issue. But, I think you can hang your hat on the fact that some folks will call him a traitor. You know, I wouldn't personally do that, but I know some would if you fought for the South. And if you did anything to make sure that slavery continued in the U.S., as terrible as slavery is, if you worked hard to do it. But I think the other thing that has to happen for these monuments, and I don't know about West Point. I don't really know why they are there, just to honor him as a great soldier.
He had a distinguished career at the Academy.
Right,
they honor their own.
I gotcha. But like in the South, some of them were erected at a time, and we had talked about this before, and I just happen to remember it, at a time when during the 60s or right after the Civil War, when they still wanted to make sure that black people knew that this oppression was still there and they would still be held down, and that, you know, they still weren't going to get equal rights, even though they had them under the law, they still weren't going to get them in practical form, and so these statues helped them at that time.
Well, there are other options. You know, in Saratoga, they had the Daughters of the American Revolution had a real conundrum. One of the heroes of that battle was Benedict Arnold, but they didn't want to erect a statue to Benedict Arnold after he had betrayed the country. But he did have his leg severely wounded there, so they put a statue of Boot up.
Okay.
And it doesn't mention his name, but it says here American won a great victory in the War of Independence, but it doesn't mention his name.
Well, and I think the proper context, it doesn't say, well, you can't move a street. They're just going to rename the street to a more appropriate street. But they did have a bipartisan committee look at some of these around the nation.
I don't think it was bipartisan.
I don't know about West Point.
It was the Department of Defense. The story says the Department of Defense.
Okay.
And, of course, I can see the president saying, we ought to get rid of these Confederate symbols at West Point. And he says that to the Secretary of the Defense. The Secretary of Defense calls up the Secretary of the Army and says, we got to get this West Point situation taken care of immediately.
I like how they're doing it on winter break, too, while the kids aren't there.
Right, the kids aren't there.
Teens,
I think
guess.
A lot of, I mean, they used, for years, have used Robert E. Lee as an example of a great cadet at West Point, and that hasn't changed.
Came back around.
The fact that he was a colonel in the United States Army and was offered command of all United States armies at the start of the war, Civil War, you know, and then in the end, he felt his greater loyalty, even though he didn't although he opposed secession, his greater loyalty was to his state, which back then was not uncommon.
Okay.
I always remember in one battle that he said, send in the Texans. The Texans always move them, meaning the Union troops, you know.
Right.
So there was a lot of state pride. You know, our troops are Pennsylvania, and they referred to them as a Pennsylvania 4th, the New Jersey 5th, or whatever. But they were really had intense pride in their state and in some cases their city.
I get it. But I think we have to go back and figure out why these streets were named for him. If it was just because he was a great soldier, he wouldn't necessarily need to do that. But if it was in any way to perpetuate the oppression, then we have to overlook that. Or we have to look at it that way and make sure that we're not continuing that.
Remember
that's a factor.
When everybody felt the Civil War ended, which of course was Grant's early surrender to Grant at Appomattox, that night, or the night what they called on the President of the United States to, you know, say a few words, he asked the band to play Dixie. And he famously told General Grant to let him up easy, which means he didn't want to impose harsh penalties on the South. He wanted to have a common sense way to bring them back into this country. They are, after all, Americans.
He wanted us to get glued back together in a good way. All right. Well, to be continued, folks. Our nation's checkered past as it relates to racism and the Confederacy and the monuments erected in the century and a half since is our topic. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Producer. She's making sure everything works out fabulously with the controls, so we appreciate that, including fixing my mistakes. So thank you, Lynn. I appreciate that. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. We've been talking about the Robert E. Lee commemorations that are on the West Point campus are being removed while the men and women are home on Christmas break. And this includes a gate, buildings, street renaming, a bust, a triptych, and some other references that were there. One did reference the Ku Klux Klan, so I think everybody agrees that probably is ill-timed. But Robert E. Lee, as Joe has indicated, was a super soldier for the U.S. and then opted to do what many people did, and that's stay loyal to their state during the Civil War, and then, of course, was a key player in reconciliation. And Joe found out why the monuments were erected, or at least the report did that they issued. So we'll talk about that momentarily, but what's your view on this topic? Some people say you're getting rid of history, but other folks say, well, you're getting rid of the worst part of our sinful nature as a racist people.
Yes, and by all means, let's ignore the Second World War. You know, let's put the Holocaust behind us. We don't need to think about that anymore.
Should we have a Hitler monument somewhere because we helped defeat him? In Germany, do they have...
They don't have monuments to Hitler,
right.
I believe. But we shouldn't erase it from our memory. I mean, it's important to find appropriate ways to preserve our history.
But maybe at the town square isn't the right place. Maybe the best place is in a museum or in a history room.
The town square is not a good place to put up a statue of Hitler. But it is a good place to put up a statue of Robert E. Lee if you take them man in totality, and you look at what he did both before and after the war. During the war, yes, you can make an argument that he was a traitor, he was treasonous, he took up arms against the United States of America.
And tried to preserve slavery.
But he also said, somehow those folks across the river there never quite seemed like the enemy.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. So that's what we're talking about. We got one text related to that, but we'll take more comers. Those were sent to 70236, include the keyword OTM, email on the mark at WKOK.com, and text us at 70236. This whole topic we've talked about a couple times in a couple different ways, but is timely because these monuments and noteworthy accoutrements are being removed from West Point even as we speak. A multi-point concerted effort while the men and women are out of town. I wonder what's up there. They don't want the young people to know. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Sunbury Motor Company is our sponsor. Let me read some brief news headlines here. Thanks to Joe, flagging begins today on Granger's Road in Monroe Township, Snyder County, as work on the CSVT southern section continues. PennDOT says work begins today and will continue for several weeks. It's between Route 15 and Park Road where flaggers are controlling traffic at a recently constructed truck crossing. U.S. Congressman Fred Keller lambasts Democrats and some Republicans for their yes vote on a big bill in Washington. U.S. Congressman Fred Keller of the 12th District released a statement after voting no on the $1.7 trillion omnibus spending bill for fiscal year 2023. He says the bill is more of the same reckless spending that is burdening future generations with unsustainable debt. America is $31 trillion in debt, and millions of working families are facing economic hardship because of inflation. This bill is not in the best interest of Americans. In fact, it prioritizes $47 billion in aid to Ukraine, $12 billion to the IRS, and millions in legal assistance for illegal aliens. The budgeting process in Congress is broken, and this 4,000-page spending bill was produced by politicians who've been in Washington far too long. We must get back to regular order where we debate bills and have a transparent process in front of the American people. I oppose this outrageous spending bill because of the hardworking people of Pennsylvania's 12th Congressional District sent me to Washington to fight for responsible stewardship of their tax dollars. I will continue to oppose any measure that plunges Pennsylvanians and our nation further into unsustainable debts, says Congressman Keller, although he's been part of voting for quite a few things that added a trillion or two to the deficit, so but not this.
Well, he's done now, isn't he?
You will be, what, on the 20th or whenever swearing-in day is?
Something like that, yeah.
All right. Let's see. There's been some slight improvement at the Janet Weiss Children's Hospital, where they were at 98% capacity because of the triple-demic. Now they're down from that slightly. Dr. Frank Maffei, the chair of pediatrics, says two of the diseases and viruses that are vexing them, there are vaccinations for those.
Not only against COVID, but influenza. It's not too late to vaccinate against influenza. So if you have that on your to-do list, please get it done. It's something that could save your child a hospitalization.
You can read more about his update at WKOK.com. Two separate utilities had different calls for conservation during the cold snap. PJM, the Eastern U.S. Electric Interconnection, issued a call for conservation Friday while temperatures were in the single digits. Christmas Day, they said the call for conservation had expired. UGI, the natural gas provider for 45 Pennsylvania counties, issued a call for conservation on Saturday. That also expired on Sunday. So that neither of those calls for conservation still in effect. The Pennsylvania Commission for Women continues to accept nominations for its 7th annual Female Veterans Day celebration in March. Our correspondent Mark Sims is following that story.
Commission Executive Director Mariah Hathaway says nominees must be current Pennsylvania residents and have served at least 4 years in any branch of the U.S. military.
We usually take a look at everyone's biographies and learn about the different tours that they might have been involved in. We focus on what branch of the military they might have been in. We want to make sure we have women from all branches of the military.
Hathaway says the commission recognizes female veterans in March in conjunction with Women's History Month to celebrate the role women have played in history as part of the military. Nominations can be made on the Pennsylvania Commission for Women's website. The deadline to submit a nomination is January 6th. Mark Sims, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
U.S. Marines use snowmobiles and aircraft to deliver toys to kids in Alaska. CBS is reporting that the U.S. United States Marines played Santa over the weekend when they used snowmobiles and aircraft to deliver some Christmas toys to kids in remote villages of Alaska. The gifts are sorted in Anchorage and taken to Kotzebue, which is about 26 miles south of the Arctic Circle.
What? What town?
Kotzebue, K-O-T-Z-E-B-U-E.
Oh, sounds right.
26 miles south of the Arctic Circle because of inclement weather, the normal channel. Although, inclement weather in the winter in Alaska.
I would think that would be the standard operating procedure,
wouldn't you? So, anyway, part of the Toys for Tots program, the U.S. Marines kicked into action and got those toys delivered in time for Christmas.
Okay.
So, how about that? All right, Chris, thank you for calling in. You are on the mark.
Well, I'm glad Keller has decided to be firmly on principle against any spending bills by the Democrats. Good for him.
Since he...
I respect him so much.
Since he helped the some Republicans voted for it, too. But he also helped the deficit go up about $4 or $5 trillion.
And our retiring senator voted against a bill that only four senators voted against.
Okay. Well, he has a mind of his own.
I thought they'd become more bipartisan on their way out, but nope.
Okay,
I guess they have jobs set up with conservative organizations or something. So, therefore,
I don't think he's announced what he's going to do, has he, Chris?
To me, no.
To me.
I heard something about the senator, but nothing about Keller.
Oh, okay. Well, last time I talked to Keller, he hadn't decided, so he was still up in the air about what he was going to do.
So we'll see.
He's not going away, though.
And I think you're standing up for bad people again.
Robert E. Lee's a bad person, huh?
Relative to his Civil War activities, I'd say he might well qualify for that.
So what about what he did before and after the Civil War? Do they count for anything, or we just write them off?
Is that what he's up there for?
Yeah, he's up there for primarily, it says here.
Yeah, Joe found why they're there.
You remember General
Maxwell? I was waiting for that.
You remember General Maxwell Taylor? You ever hear of his name?
Yes.
Okay. In 1952, at the dedication of Robert E. Lee's portrait at West Point's library, 1952 it went up, he said, in spite of the sight of the stars and bars flying from the radio masts of occasional automobiles coming out of Dixie, few fair-minded men can feel today that the issues which divided the North and South in 1861 have any real meaning to our present generation. You know,
That's no longer true, I'd say, and it probably wasn't true in the 50s either.
Well, we've become more woke since then by a country mile. But the whole idea...
No, we were more asleep in the 50s.
The whole idea was that we were trying to not paper over, but to heal the wounds from the Civil War by recognizing that even though they fought against the government of the United States, they were still Americans. We never acknowledged the fact that they were something other than citizens of the United States. Even though they claimed to be, we never acknowledged that.
But the... they didn't consider themselves citizens of the United States.
No, but Abraham Lincoln and the country considered them citizens of the United States and treated them as such after the end of the war, after they took a loyalty oath.
So you don't want to erase the history of Robert E. Lee, but you're willing to erase the history of bad decisions to put up statues honoring such people. And it was between the 20s and the 50s when the big push was done, was active to restore all those people by the people who very much were holding down black people.
Well, I don't think General Maxwell Taylor was ever been accused of holding down black people.
Well, yes, but the people behind most of these statues in that time period were the sons of the daughters of the rebellion or whatever they're called.
The daughters of the Confederacy?
The women. It's a group that honors their Civil War soldiers in the South. I forget their name.
So should we be punishing?
They were the force behind
that. We be punishing the South today for what happened in the 1860s?
No, for what happened in the 1920s and 30s and 40s and 50s and
right.
60s.
And 60s.
So should we be blaming the Democrats for all the years they supported anti-racist holding down Negro policies?
We should blame Democrats and others.
Can I say you should be blaming the Democrats who voted that way? Yes.
All right. So, in other words, we erase that today, and we say all Democrats good.
No. Erase. I totally object to that word. Totally.
Well, how would you describe what you're proposing then?
Are they taking him out of the history books at West Point? Are they still teaching how he fought his battles at West Point? I'm pretty sure they are.
Yeah, I think so. Well, and these will go someplace. They're proper things that have a, you know, like the bust.
And they're going up. They're not going in a proper place. They're going up in an attic, which might be a proper place
right.
if you stretch the definition of proper. But they're probably holding out, and in 50 years, if everything's hunky-dory, they'll try putting them up again and see how it goes.
Yeah, someplace with the proper context.
So 50 years from all these woke people are gone.
You want them up
50
like
years
that.
From now when all these woke people are gone. And
just the fact that there was that one with the Ku Klux Klan in it,
that wasn't
how did that get up?
That wasn't Robert E. Lee. That had nothing to do with him. It was a separate issue.
Oh, okay. But how did that shows you what their values were, and if you have values like that, then maybe you should overextend for a while, like taking it to stop honoring people who fought against the United States.
Affirmative action for art.
Well, bear in mind that in the 1920s, the Ku Klux Klan, not to belong, was a you were being ostracized if you didn't belong. Almost millions of people belonged to the Ku Klux Klan in the 1920s. And when did they drop out? When they realized that the Klan was doing bad things. And they stopped representing the majority of people. When they were talking about the positive values that the Klan supposedly espoused, people signed up. But when they found out what their real agenda was, they dropped out. So let's give them.
Well, historically, we know what their real agenda was.
Your great-grandfather.
Get rid of their power in government and keep them from voting.
Your grandfather might have been a Klansman, or your great-grandfather. Because that's what people were in the 1920s. They believed in the Klan. They had a big parade down the main street of Washington, D.C.
Which is a reason to take things down.
Because they had a parade?
Because of the popularity of racism, Joe.
Well, but they weren't necessarily espousing racism. They were espousing a lot of things, most of them
bad.
There are
people today who are doing it, correct?
But, all right, so can you be, if you're a racist, but you're nonviolent, are you a threat to society?
If you're a racist and you're a nonviolent, I consider you have a damaging effect on society, but whether you're a threat to it is something else.
But on the other hand, somebody who's a racist and is violent, he is a definite threat to our society.
And the Ku Klux Klan was violent even in the 20s, Joe.
But not entirely. Not the northern chapters.
Okay, not entirely.
I'm not saying there's anything good. Let me finish. I'm not saying there's anything good or even socially redeeming about the Klan. I'm talking about the way people felt about it in the 1920s.
But what's that? Why do you need the portraits of Robert E. Lee up there? What's your
Because of the values he stood for. The fact that at the end of the war, Jefferson Davis was hoping to have a guerrilla war fought for years and years to just bleed the North dry and kill as many Yankees as he could.
And you think the West Point Academy
Let me finish. You ask me a question, as you always do. You ask me a question, then you don't let me answer it. Robert E. Lee made it a point to his troops and to the leadership.
You already said that.
No, there's no point. Go ahead. I'm done.
I mean, you already said that three times today.
Okay.
That's all. I'm not listening to right now. You said that three times today.
You locked up his hard drive. I'm sorry. We can't.
There was another point I was going to make.
Okay. Okay. Well, goodbye then, Joe.
Goodbye.
I'm sorry you're too little small to want to talk about it.
All right, thank you, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. We'll take a quickie break. We got a half a dozen texts on this topic. We'll read those on the radio. But we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565. When, if ever, is it appropriate to take down plaques, rename streets, rename gates, change the names on buildings, take down busts or triptychs or other symbols of the Confederacy and slavery and oppression and racism, or should they stay up? What's your view on this topic? 1-800-795-9565.
So okay? They're all, in other words, you can't put up a picture of Robert E. Lee without it honoring slavery and the Ku Klux Klan? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking the audience to tell me.
Well, you're wrong.
Okay. So the answer is no, in your view.
Right.
All right. Says the man who's never been oppressed in any way at all whatsoever. He now knows all about it, and he's going to tell us. All right. 1-800-795-9565.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right. One of our texters says, Chris says if they were, they were Democrats pushing for Confederate monuments and suppressing the black man.
Well, yeah, I think back then Democrats were for racism down in the South and Republicans were for
stopping it.
Yeah, stopping it, moving the country forward, but everybody's reversed completely
now.
No,
they haven't. The Republicans still are not trying to hold people down. They've supported other
That's
bills.
A good one.
And then, Chris, you stand up for Biden. What's that say about you supporting bad people? And then I wonder what Robert Byrd, the Democrat senator and KKK Grand Kliegel, would say.
It's Kliegel spelled with a K.
And of course, yes, the Kliegel. They all spelled everything with K. And of course, he was Joe Biden's good friend. Joe Biden spoke very kindly of him at
back
his funeral.
In the day.
Chris, the omnibus wasn't worthy of a yes vote. And conserve electricity during a cold snap? Imagine the chaos with 100% renewables like climate Nazis want. Now, there's an interesting point. Let's see. Why are illegals receiving legal help at taxpayer expense? They're not citizens. They need to be deported. Well,
I think they're talking about asylum seekers getting some help. Is that what the individuals who were on the bus dropped off at the vice president's place were asylum seekers or just people they caught at the border?
I have no idea who they were.
Okay.
Then all references to the Confederacy should be explained as to why the Civil War happened to prevent another. And then the woke idiots removing history at West Point is criminal. Those that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it.
And who said those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it?
Santayana.
And who is he, an author or historian?
Yes.
Okay. Which?
Both.
Okay. He wrote a book about history and authoring. Okay. You don't know, do you?
You asked me a question. I gave you an answer. You don't like the answer? Look it up.
I'm looking for more answer. You look them up. All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company. But in the meantime, we invite folks to call us. If you'd like to weigh in on this, we have another clipping that relates to a California university. We'll be talking about that very shortly. But you are listening to On the Mark on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. As this week progresses, we'll have Steve Kushiloff in here on Thursday. And on Friday, we'll have a best of. So we're going to hear from Brantley Gassaway again, the good professor up at Bucknell University who left such a wonderful impression discussion here, talking about the intersection of politics and religion during the fall campaign. So we'll hear from him again, plus some other good folks who were best of segments of On the Mark. That'll be Friday. Monday's a holiday, so we'll have a CBS year-end review. And Tuesday, Joe and I will be back a week from today arguing. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership, not some big conflagration or nothing. It is the real deal, a real family, the Mertz family. And they're on 4th Street in Sunbury with their main operation and the satellite Routes 11 and 15 Kia dealership in Hummelsworth. They got some gorgeous Kias on the lot. SunburyMotors.com is their third address. That would be helpful to you to know. On 4th Street, that's where they store the Quick Lane, where they specialize in all types of service
for vehicles. They store it. Does it sometimes get moved?
It's in storage today. It's not open today. So, nope, today they're open, actually. Today's normal. They can pump you up with nitrogen and get you aligned, get your body fixed, to get your diesel spark plug, or I guess they don't have spark plugs. What do the diesels have? Heaters? The diesels have something else, not a spark plug. Little nozzles. I forget what they're called. But anyway.
Nozzles.
Right. They have heaters that heat things up in the all the time in the diesel motor.
Your technical references are just brilliant.
I'm fascinating. Everyone out there. All right. SunburyMotors.com is the address if you want to build a Ford, Hyundai, or Kia to your precise specification. And they would just love to hear from you. Check out the folks, Jeff Clock, Ernie, Austin, Alphonse, Jason, Chris, and Tony, among others. They got over 100 employees, so they'd love you to be on board at the Sunbury Motor Company. They're also looking for some new workers, so if you'd like to help them out by being an employee, now is the time to step up. All right, give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Okay, Google, what are the devices in a diesel engine that create the spark?
Little nozzles.
No. All right.
According to General Technologies Corp., diesel engines do not have a spark-based ignition system. They operate on a principle called compression ignition. In diesel engines, the fuel is injected into the cylinder when the pressure and temperature are high enough to make the fuel burn spontaneously.
All right. Well, that doesn't answer the question.
No, it doesn't.
They have something. All right. 1-800-795-9565. We'll be right back.
Thank you, Mr. Technical.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, I just decided, I don't know if Joe likes this or not, but I'm going to air the last time Congressman Keller was on the Mark before he stopped talking to us was July of 2020. He was talking about the pandemic and the $1,200 payout checks that he voted for that doubled and redoubled the deficit. Federal law enforcement officers in Washington and Oregon and many related federal topics. So, yeah, it'll be a good archive.
So it'll be sort of like his exit interview?
It's as best we can do since he's still not talking to us. But he did give us a great release about his opposition to the trillion-dollar bill, and we do have his whole statement posted at WKOK.com.
Well, he does speak to Fox and Friends. I've seen him on there several times.
Oh, yeah, in the morning. Yeah. Sure, as long as you're up at 5 in the morning.
Yeah, he seems to do the early show. So, in any event, he would still be more than welcome to come on and give us his view as he prepares to leave office.
Open mic anytime.
Anytime. Day or night.
Any topic. And one of our good listeners knows what the word I was searching for in spark plugs. In diesels, they do not have spark plugs. They have
glow plugs.
Glow plugs, yeah, to make sure that
that sounds like that something you would find at a disco. We have glow plugs tonight.
Yeah, if you need one. All right. What do you got? California University.
Yeah, this is interesting. This ties in. It's the same kind of cultural crap that's going on at West Point. Stanford University released a guide this week on harmful language that it wants to remove from its online properties, noting that the term American is a no-go. Oh, no, we can't say we're Americans anymore. The language guide, which was published on Monday of last week, aims to eliminate many forms of harmful language, including racist, violent, and biased language in Stanford at Stanford University. Launched in May, the project known as the Elimination of Harmful Language Initiative lists the prohibited terms under 10 categories, including racism, homophobia, and ableism. Under a section titled Imprecise Language, the guide advises readers to replace the term American with U.S. citizen.
For what? Because
American often refers to people from the United States only, thereby insinuating that the U.S. is the most important country in the Americas. The packet reasons noted that the region actually includes 42 countries between North and South America. Mm. So we can no longer say we're Americans.
Right.
We must say we are U.S. citizens.
And South America and Central America both use that phrase often.
They're Americans
in their
too.
Descriptions. Yeah.
But we use it to describe our country.
Right. Yeah, good point. But I don't know that we need to change it.
Other listed terms include immigrant, which should be replaced by person who has immigrated. Now, immigrant, three syllables. Person who has immigrated is eight syllables.
Well, this is an effort to, this people first, naming the person first, is an effort to make sure that you kind of humanize all the different things that you say, rather than we used to call people the R word. Now we say they are a person.
Oh, but here's one that's
with.
Really, you're going to love this one.
Okay, since I'm, see now Chris
because
interrupted you, but
I'm
you
sorry.
Feel free
no,
to
go
interrupt
ahead.
Me
go
anytime.
Ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The movement today is to describe people as a person with or a person of or a person of color or things like that. Person first.
Well, you just committed a violation in the commercial you gave for Sunbury Motors. You said walk in anytime at the quick lane.
Yeah.
Walk in hours is swapped out to be open hours in order to include those who are unable to walk in.
Oh, yeah. Even Hallmark had an ableist theme in one of their movies, a fellow that had a stroke.
Now this one, the common phrase beating a dead horse is also cautioned against based on the idea that it normalizes violence against animals.
I never heard anybody who was accused of beating a dead horse that actually went out and hurt an animal.
Well, if the horse is dead, it's probably irrelevant to the horse whether you're beating it or
what
not.
What difference does it make? Well, yeah, but it promotes violence against other animals.
In addition, the 13-page list outlines several slurs against black individuals, indigenous groups, wheelchair users, LGBTQ plus individuals, and others. The purpose of this website is to educate people about the possible impact of the words we language affects different people in different ways. We are not attempting to assign levels of harm to the terms on this site. We are also not attempting to address all informal uses of language. But here's, you know, they just keep going on and on and on. No longer using American. In the culturally appropriate category, it says names should be used instead of Chief or Pocahontas. We can't refer to Native Americans in those ways.
Well, what about chief? What about police chief?
Well, I guess that, you know, that comes from what? Native Americans, right? They were called chiefs. Elsewhere, it also asks for the term abort to be changed to end or cancel. So we will no longer abort
that.
Children. We will cancel them
end them. Well, yeah, we could still abort, still use the phrase when you're talking about children. Unfortunately, you'd say abort children. But
we can't say abort children. We'd have to say end or cancel.
Right. I used to put that in emails or things when we were changing plans, say abort, abort.
Now,
and somebody said
the site also suggests
that.
Replacing Karen with demanding or entitled white woman.
Well, that's okay.
While a child prostitute could be changed to a child who has been trafficked. Okay. In its section on ableist language, the institution says it will will get rid of addict for a person with a substance abuse disorder.
Right. Well, yeah, a lot of human service providers have already done this, particularly when it relates to addiction or social issues.
This one I don't understand. For changing from committed suicide to died by suicide.
Yeah, I don't get that. I heard something about that. We did. There were some suicides recently, and Senator Casey's office used the phrase committed suicide to talk to us about some funding for teen suicide. Of course, it was part of his interview here later. And... another listener sent us a note on Facebook Messenger saying, yeah, we don't say commit suicide anymore.
Yeah, well,
as though it's some kind of accomplishment, I guess, or
I don't know. It also says it will swap the term blind review for anonymous review, while tone deaf should be swapped for unenlightened, and handicapped parking changed to accessible parking.
All right. 1-800-799.
And who is it accessible to, just out of curiosity?
Everybody.
The handicapped.
Everybody.
No, if I park there, it's not accessible to me.
It's a person who's differently abled.
I see.
All right, Lance, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey there. Why, about the diesels, you know, you said about glow plugs. Well, that's only to get them going.
Oh, I got you. And they don't need it the rest of the time.
No. And a matter of fact, like those diesels on the diesel locomotives, they don't even have glow plugs.
How do they get them pre-warm to start? Or they just have enough pressure to go?
That is enough pressure in there to do what you just can't believe. That compressed air compressing the molecules makes it really hot, and away they go.
Okay.
Well, anyway, just a couple things here. You know, we're talking about, Robert E. Lee.
Okay. Okay.
Now, he did all kinds of really wonderful things afterwards. Matter of fact, he should have been the model citizen for the folks from the South. He told everybody to go home, you know, and be an American citizen. It was all over. The cause was lost, and we go from here.
Yeah, Joe said that a couple times.
Yeah. Well, now, here we have kind of a quandary. If a liberal organization had horrible racist roots, they forget about it. And I can really point to one. As a matter of fact, I'm still a member of the thing. You know, you never get out of it. Is the Machinists Union, the IAM, International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, you know, keep the planes flying, the trucks running, and the trains going down the tracks. Well, anyway, I memorized this because it was on the masthead in front of our headquarters up until just about the year 2000. And it said, American-born white men, sober, of good moral character, skilled in their craft, and given to enterprise, do hereby organize, right? Something to really be proud of, right?
Holy smokes.
Yeah. Now, if that was a conservative fraternal organization, let's say the Moose or the Elks or something like that, what would happen to that organization?
It would be banned.
Well, their building would be revised, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We'd erase them.
They'd cover up that sign.
Yeah. We can't say we'd abort them. It would have to be we would end them or terminate them.
That cancel, that sounds like hitman language.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But, so while I'm here, we got time. National debt. Now, it sounds really horrible. We're at about $90,000 a person now. Well, you realize if you look at how much it costs per year to keep a kid in one of our high schools or just a regular school, case in point is right here at Line Mountain. It's $18,000 a kid per year. Well, that if you have half-day kindergarten, that gets you starting the sixth grade. That's it. So I can't understand why they think that's such a horrible debt they'll never be able to pay.
Well, and Congressman Keller was part and parcel of the whole thing. He voted for a lot of these things.
Well, yes.
But now he's all up in arms.
Yeah, but that really isn't, in the whole scheme of things, a whole lot of money when you look at it like that.
Yeah, a lot of people say that.
Well, you ever figure if you could put the amount of money it costs to educate a kid K through college in the bank when he's born? By the time he's 30, he's a multimillionaire.
Whether or not he went to school or not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Teach him to read and write at home and, can, you know, get a job at McDonald's or hustle and stuff.
Not
then
that
the whole family
wrong
retires.
With
yeah. The whole family retires. Imagine if you have four kids and do that.
Okay.
And we got McDonald's online, too, saying there's nothing wrong with working there. All right. Thank you so much, Lance. Thanks for calling in.
Yep.
I think everybody in America worked at a McDonald's once or twice. All right, you can read those texts, and then we'll take the break, and then we got a good caller.
The term Karen doesn't just apply to white women. There are ignorant, demanding men and women of all ages.
All races.
Of all races. The overeducated people at Stanford are idiots and fools. Yeah, they go on. They don't stop here. You know, it also states the gender-based in the gender-based selection that pronouns should be used instead of preferred pronouns. Now, can you guess why? Because the latter implies that gender identity is a choice.
Oh, okay.
Isn't it a choice? You choose to do this?
Well, you know, not really, but that's another.
And it also warns against words ending in man or woman, such as freshman or congresswoman, as they are not inclusive.
Mm.
So referring to a woman as a congressman is probably
wrong.
Congresswoman, but to call them congresswoman, if she is a woman, what's wrong with that?
How about a member of Congress? She's a member of Congress.
So if we elect a transgender congressperson, how do we refer to them?
Member of Congress.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you've just hit upon what we should now call everybody.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about political correctness, which is Joe's least favorite topic.
Stanford University, the home of idiots.
Pulling down monuments, which is Joe's second least favorite category. All right. 1-800-795-9565. We got one caller lined up. We will be right back.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
one 800 795 9565. Joe and I talked about our nation being in trouble. And there's a man on the line now who agrees that that is the truth. Van is on the line from New Columbia, PA. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Good morning. Hope you guys had a great Christmas.
Thank you. We did. And you?
Oh, yes. Wonderful. Ate way too much.
Yeah, amen.
I'm surprised even had to eat anything yesterday. But anyway, this whole deal with this changing words and this harmful language, and we've seen the changing of definitions. And when you guys were talking about this deal out in Stanford, I was thinking about how long ago it's been when there was such a big deal made about Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben, you know, this stuff that was on these products and how that stuff had to be taken away to make things better. And what has that accomplished by doing any of that?
Well, it didn't have to be taken away. The company chose to. At the time, they said they wanted to appeal to everybody, but I think at the time they were kind of called out for, you know, sort of a reverse racist pandering, I guess. I don't know how else to say it.
It's all part of the brainwashing that we're seeing. I mean,
there
had no effect on anyone by having that on there. I mean, I didn't see people protesting about having that stuff on it, or just something got brought up, and just like the whole deal with harmful language. What is harmful language? You know, what's harmful about, you know, the different things that Joe was reading there? And why would it have to be changed? And what's it going to make things less harmful? Who's being harmed by those terms?
I don't think anybody's being harmed by them. And, you know, they become... It becomes stupid to make changes like that. You know, there are certain terms, for example, that they talk about that I can maybe see, like Indian giver. So what would you call them, a Native American reclaimer?
it's like you say, it's total idiocy. It's laughable, actually. And I heard another term that they're not supposed to use is basket case.
I go, yeah, I guess
not. Because of a mental health reference.
Yeah, my goodness. That's, I mean, it's... when does it end? You know, the whole, I think it's just a huge distraction that's out there to keep people's eyes off of what's really going on. We're seeing our country invaded by all these illegals coming in. They're allowed to pour into our country. And the Democrats want to act like everything's hunky-dory. Well, why don't they move down to El Paso and try to live down there? I pity those people down there.
Well, fortunately, the governors in Texas and Florida are sending them all over the U.S. to urban areas. So I think some Democrats are getting a glimpse of the issue, this dropping some off in front of the vice president's house when it was 2 degrees on Saturday night. I think is going to send a message. You know, I don't think it's a good thing that he's doing that, but I think the intended purpose to send a message is happening. It's a shame you have to use people to do it, but
yeah, I think they'll just shut the border down. I mean, we've got to protect our borders. I mean, and along with that, allowing people to come into our country, we're sending $1.7 trillion a spending bill, and we're sending all this stuff to help Ukraine. And for what purpose? Ukraine had one of the most corrupt governments ever in that area of the world, and now we're pouring money in there and giving weapons to them, and to what end?
We have to support our citizen of the year, Mr. Zelensky over there.
So, good point.
I loved how he came and, you know, he dressed like G.I. Joe to stand and talk to the Congress. I mean, to me, that it's disrespectful to come to our country like that, and he basically, you know, demanding money from us like we owe him anything. And why he was ever allowed to address the Congress is beyond me.
Well, he was requesting money, wasn't he? He wasn't demanding it.
Well, he's pretty much, you know, he's requesting it, and the people stood up and applauded like he's the greatest thing, you know, going on in the entire world.
He's standing up for democracy. I guess you can say that. But, yeah, I saw that. And not only was he in the uniform that he wears, but it wasn't even remotely clean. I mean, it was, you know, soiled and marked up and had blood on it and stuff. And so he
had blood on it?
Yes. He looked like he had just stepped off the battlefield, literally, got transported here, spoke, and then went back to battle.
Well, I disagree with the two of you on that. I think the guy's a shining symbol of what we should hope that our leaders are like.
Oh, I agree. But I'm just saying that his uniform wasn't even a clean fatigue uniform.
Well, he's definitely better than the leader we have as president, that's for sure.
Yeah, there you go.
Fair enough.
Done more for democracy than Joe Biden has, that's for sure.
Well, at least he hasn't flip-flopped like Joe Biden. Yeah, that's another thing. You know, this whole deal with our culture, it's all brainwashing. You can listen to Joe Biden and Barack Obama years ago saying about how they were for marriage between a man and a woman and how miraculously they flip-flopped. And now they're all for, you know, and this law that was just passed here, that protection of marriage, whatever it is. All it is just garbage. It's a new world agenda that's put out there, and these people that pretty much sold their souls, they'll go ahead and they'll follow right along, lockstep with whatever they tell them to do. And our country is being destroyed before our very eyes, and people are distracted by, you know, harmful language. Well, let's change the definition of vaccine, and let's do this, and let's change the definition of that, and let's, you know, you got to, you know, give me my pronouns. I'm they and them or whatever. You know, the Heinz 57, you know, sexuality, and it's all leading up to the great reset that's coming, and we are going to have our monetary system changed drastically. We're seeing worldwide where governments are implementing,
okay,
working toward implementing a cashless, you know, cashless, and Bitcoin is a thing of the past, but they're going to have a digital currency, and it's going to be worldwide.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. Thanks for calling in. Joe, do you want to read that on
the right-hand side there? But I wanted to touch on two of the others, the last of these things on from Stanford University. The section on institutionalized racism states that black mark and black sheep are not used because of negative connotations to the color black. Now, that's a pretty big stretch as far as I'm concerned. A black sheep has nothing to do with race.
Right. It has to do with a pariah of the sheep.
It also suggests... love this one. Now, this somebody had to really think about this one to find it offensive. It also suggests that legacy status is used instead of grandfathered. Can you think of why? Because of the roots in the grandfather clause adopted by southern states to deny voting rights to blacks.
Oh.
That is so obscure.
Says a grandfather.
Right.
Who loves the grandfather clause that allows him to request visitation with his grandkids at any given time.
All right, we'll read a long letter tomorrow.
All right, we'll do that. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll have another Open Phones Day tomorrow. This is WKOK Sunbury.